This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. So today I'm going to do a bit of a off-the-cuff video, which I think I might try and make a weekly video every Friday, for as long as it runs, not forever, just a bit of a short ongoing series. I want to go back to my roots and sources with the channel. I did briefly cover this in my last video, when I was just kind of randomly letting some stuff off my mind to you guys. And it's that I want to kind of go back to something called the Tips for Truthers series. Now, if you go to my channel, and I'll share the screen here. There actually already is a playlist dedicated to this. If you scroll down, you can see created playlists. And here we have one called Tips for Truthers. And they're pretty low quality, quite old. They were made about a year ago now, as you can see. But there is a set here of a lot of different pieces of advice. What have I got here? 16, maybe 18 videos, just kind of breaking down a few things about how to be a truther in this world, and the basically best practice pieces of advice. I'm not saying they are the be-all, end-all, you know, or that you should 100% definitely do these perfectly to the book or anything, but they're there just to help you get by and maybe deal with telling loved ones in a little bit more of a concise style. And I realized, like I said, they're old. They're a bit they're a bit low quality, they're shabby, you know, they could be better because they were done in my car. And since obviously I've got this new microphone, I've got the office set up now, I've got something a bit more of a coherent theme going on, I think it might be best to rehash them and retell them. And I may have picked up a few extra things along the way in the last year as well, which I'd like to share with you guys. So to open this up, what I'm going to do, I'll try and go through as many as I can in like a half an hour session or a 20-minute session. And the first piece of advice, and I do have my very old document here where I've listed them all out, is be careful who you share this information with. Now, I get it, okay? When you first wake up, you want to go out there and you want to tell all your friends and family the terrible truths you've been learning about the nature of our world and reality, spiritual and physical. You learn about the monetary corruption, the governmental corruption, the educational corruption, the medical institutional corruption. You learn about the corruption that's within every facet of our society. You learn about the methods of control they're using against us, the weapons they're using against us, and the mass scale mind control, the media control, the brainwashing, the programming, the symbols and everything. You know, you'd be bombarded with all this information very quickly because that tends to be how this works. You find one thing, and then you slip into the rabbit hole, and then you're falling for a long time getting more and more black-pilled and red-pilled, as we used to call it back in the day, you know, learning about all these things, and you spend a long time just soaking in so much information, one video after another, one article after another, one book after another, one podcast after another, one talk after another, you know. It's one thing after another, you're just taking it in, topic hopping, just getting a broad picture in your mind. And you have all this information. It's like, I have to tell somebody. People need to know. Like, we can't hide this, but all my loved ones are being lied to. We're all being deceived on a mass scale. What am I going to do? I've got to go tell everybody. So you run to the closest person to you, usually be it your spouse, your best friend, your parents, maybe. And you try and just unload it all on them. And you know how it goes. We tend to not be able to shut up once we start because we have so much just overflowing in our brains. It's kind of like, I have to tell them everything. So you do. You tell them everything. And you realize it's been 2 hours. You've been talking for 2 hours to this poor person, this individual you've come to unload onto and to try and wake up. And they haven't said a single word. And they're just looking at you. You know, just with this blank stare. And you realize they switched off like 1 hour, 53 minutes ago. You know, and it's been 2 hours. They stopped listening after a few minutes. And instead, they were watching you behave the way you were behaving. They were watching you raving away. It's the only way they would describe it. They were watching you be somebody they don't recognize. And naturally have that look of concern in their eyes, don't they? They look at you like, oh, what's happened to them? What has happened to this person? Where are they? What's going on here? Oh dear, they need help, you know? And all those thoughts start kicking in. And it's very rare you find these people actually listen the first time. It usually comes first with the knee-jerk reaction, rejection, and then the judgment and the pity and the search for answers of how we can fix this person starts running through their heads first. You know, how can we get this person back into the fold with the rest of us and back to reality where the rest of us are living, so-called, you know? And like I said, that's our general impulse, isn't it? We want to tell everybody because we want to help. We're not doing it because we're like trying to ruin somebody's good day. You know? It's like the sun's shining, they're having a barbecue or something, you've got all the loved ones around them and you've just come to piss on their parade, you know, and bring a cloud over their sunshine and say, yeah, but did you realize that everything's controlled by Freemasons? You know, I don't think they were like looking to have that like thrown on them in that time. We're not looking to ruin people's good time, but we can't help but want to tell them because we love them. But we need to be careful with who you choose to actually tell these things to. And there's something to be said for how. Okay, there's always something, then we can get into that later, into other tips of truth about how to tell people this information. But in those early stages when you are kind of just soaking it all in, be very selective about who you choose to actually open up to. Don't just go all in guns blazing, because you'll learn a lot about people when you try to tell them these things. You'll finally actually realize what kind of person they actually are and how open they actually are, and you'll actually learn quite a bit about somebody, like I said, when you try and share this with them. Things you never realized about that individual, how they react tells you a lot about their state of mind. But when it comes to time and place, this is mainly about something like the workplace, okay? So you should be very careful about telling your work colleagues this information. Because I know what it's like when you work in a big company with lots of people. I'm going to tell you a story that kind of explains how I learned this lesson the hard way. But it's kind of, you know, when you work something like a large company, you talk a lot in between doing, you know, work, whatever it is you're doing. You know, you talk a lot, especially if you're in a company with headsets on and they're all connected, you know, or something like a supermarket. And if you're the type of person who makes content online, let's say, or has been watching a lot of content online to do with conspiracy theory, it can tend to always end up just coming up in conversation naturally. And then someone latches on and goes, wait a minute, what did you just say? Explain that a bit more. And usually if they're like the atheistic, secularist, cocky, holier than thou, you know, I'm so intelligent, these stupid people out there believing in conspiracy theories, you know, they usually want to, like, passive-aggressively smarmy kind of ask you questions with a shit-eating grin on their face, you know, like, they don't really care about knowing what your answers are, they just want to kind of get things out of you to laugh at you about your crazy worldviews. Those people start coming out, you know. And this is the problem when you work for a company. It's kind of, well, these ideas are actually not the norm. They do go against everything that society is built upon. And it's the lies and the foundations they have built it on. And you are kind of like a fly in the punch bowl, shall we say. You've come along and you've ruined everything for everybody. And people don't like that. You know, they're all, especially in the workplace, everybody's playing a game in the workplace. Everyone's put on the uniform. And they've all non-verbally, social contract-wise, you know, they've all agreed we're going to play the role of employee today. We're not here to play the role of friend, you know, or necessarily, but we will go along to get along and we'll say what needs to be said to make the day run smoothly so we can all clock out and go home. And if you start talking about these ideas in the workplace, you're disrupting the flow of productivity. You know, so be careful who you tell. Not only that, because you might think you have friends in the workplace. You might think you can trust these people. And you might start telling them about, you know, 9/11. Have you ever really looked into what happened there? You know, you start talking about these things. Or you start saying things like, you know, well, I think there might be a bit of a conspiracy perhaps to, you know, flood the Western world with people who don't have our ideological understandings, you know, it's a really controversial subject, really, when you talk about it. It's kind of like, I think maybe this, you start thinking about the control of the money and everything, you know, and I started thinking, like, there seems to be one particular group of people who seem to own everything and have all the money and are calling all the shots. You know, you start talking about, you're crossing over boundaries here, which are actually corporate world. You can't, because corporate people hire people of all sorts of beliefs and orientations, whatever they come down to. And to have our beliefs is very contrary to many of these employees. And corporate is scared of being sued or having a bad image or anything that affects their bottom line and profit margins. And if there's an individual in the corporation who is not willing to go along with and toe the mainstream political party line of the time, well, if, you know, it could offend employees. They could lose the money they spent training those employees because they quit, or they could complain and then make management look bad or make the company as a whole look bad as the type of company who employs those type of people. You know what I mean? Like, they're not willing to let it get that far. So if your employment does tend to discover that type of thing, more often than not, especially if it's a big conglomerate type company, maybe not, you know, mom, pa shops, little shops run by families, maybe you might have a lot more leeway in those type of places, but big corporations, it's a no-go. HRs, and, you know, the type of place that has a HR department, you know, they'll get involved instantly and shut it down because you trusted somebody at work you thought was your friend to tell this information to and the type of things you believe. Next thing you know, they're bored one day, that person you told who you thought you could trust, you're not on the shift that day, and they're on the headsets stacking shelves or whatever it is they're doing, you know, checking on inventory or whatever your job is, it doesn't really matter, writing emails, replying, and they're talking to the person next to them or they're talking to the members in the office in that day, or they're on the headsets. And it's late at night, there's no customers around, and they're getting a bit personal. And that person you trusted says, oh, they were talking to me the other day, and they mentioned this. And then the wrong person hears it. And the next thing you know, they're going to your boss and saying, oh, I heard so-and-so was talking about this the other day to so-and-so, and I'm a bit concerned. It doesn't sound right. It sounds a bit dodgy, you know. And the next thing you know, your boss starts investigating, and they find your YouTube channel. And then the boss calls you into the office and there's your area manager next to you. And they're saying things to you like, well, you know, we're a bit concerned with some of the things you've been saying here, because it's kind of like, you know, well, this is a multicultural diverse company and we, you know, we hire these people, and if any of those members of staff find these things, and, you know, you're a manager, and it's kind of, if you're a manager and, you know, and you have these ideas, they may not be comfortable listening to you or doing what you ask them to do or working with you. And we have problems, you know, so you can't be a manager and have this YouTube channel at the same time. So really, you know, we're just trying to protect you, you know, and we just don't want you to get in trouble here. So we think it might be best that if you want to continue doing what you do online, then you're going to have to step down to a basic position in the company where you don't have authority over other people, you know, and that's the choice that you're going to have to be left with here. And if you aren't getting the picture by now, that's what happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me, word for word, because I wasn't careful with who I chose to tell what I do to people in my workplace. And in a moment of weakness I am not proud of, I capitulated and I took the channel down. And for 5 years, I produced nothing and all my videos were hidden. Because I was scared of losing the position I'd just been promoted into as a manager of a supermarket. I worked hard to get to that position, and it was all about to be taken away from me because of my beliefs and my views. Now, I don't blame the company, because I've explained to you exactly why they operate that way. I get it. They were just scared about their bottom line. It's just business. It really wasn't personal from higher ups. It really wasn't. I should have been smarter about how I dealt with explaining what I do to people. I literally should not have mentioned a single thing and kept my work life and this life completely separate. And I should have realized that my work friends are not my friends. They're colleagues. They're people I work with. And I think sometimes we forget that. It's hard to make that distinction sometimes. It's easy to make friends with your colleagues when you're all on the same level. But when you go to a management position, they're not your friends anymore. You're the boss. And there are certain expectations that need to be followed, certain levels of respect that need to be maintained in order to make the system work. And I suppose you wouldn't realize that until you perhaps do go for promotion with whatever company you work for, and you'll see that that's how it really works. And those people you thought were your friends are suddenly your enemies. They don't see you as a friend anymore. You're the boss, you know. And that comes, obviously, with being aware of how you present yourself online if you're intending to go for longevity within a company as well. And I'm not saying this is good. I'm not saying this is the way the world works, you know. That's all I'm telling you. This is just how it works, which is why you do need to be careful who you tell. Just to avoid pain and headaches in your life that could have been avoided. You don't need to tell your work colleagues this stuff. You don't. Maybe work on your loved ones and close friends and family first. But you don't need to tell your work colleagues these things. Okay, and this can apply, maybe not just to the work environment, that's just one of them. But in things like social clubs or whatever it is you've signed up for, you know, that you pay a monthly subscription to go and do, like whether it's playing football or whatever it is, tennis or somewhere, or maybe to a golf club, I don't know, whatever your taste is, or, you know, maybe the place where you take your kids to karate to every weekend or whatever. Don't start telling those mums and dads, because then they'll say, oh, I don't want my child playing with their child. Their parents are crazy. You know, and then you're causing problems down the line for other people, not just yourself. You've got to be very careful with who you tell this information to. You really do. It's kind of a don't cast your pearls before swine kind of situation. You know, some people really will just hate you for telling the truth. And you better make sure that person you're about to tell all that stuff to is open to hearing it and will not end up hating you before you say it. And how can we possibly know that so easily? It takes time to know somebody's character. And you will always be surprised. You'll find the person you thought was going to be open to this stuff wasn't. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. So we have to be clever. And we have to remember when we first wake up. And I hope you try and tell other people who you may find in this situation. Though it's often too late. Like I said, they've often already blabbed. It's too late and they've ruined everything and burnt all their bridges immediately before they have a chance to hear something. Someone like me saying this, who's kind of been in the game for a while. But just stop and breathe for a second and think before you speak. Does this person need to know what I'm about to say? And do they need to know that I believe this type of stuff? think long term here. It comes from a place of love. I get it. You want to save people. You want to help people. You want everybody to know the truth. I know. But in this world, the truth is a weapon. And people don't like having weapons brandished in their face. And when you do, they will get defensive. So it's up to you to guard yourself and to be careful when you choose to get the truth out of its holster. It really is. You have to be extremely careful. So there's the first bit of advice for you and the reasonings behind why. Now, luckily, just to give a happy ending to the story, I quit that job about 2 years ago, started my own company as a wedding photographer. That company went under after a year, but by that point, I came back to YouTube, and now this supports me and my family, and I've made a career out of this instead, and I'm self-employed. So things went well in the end for me, and it took a long story of God kicking me out of that environment slowly but surely, making everything worse and worse and worse for me working there, to the point where I had to just put my foot down and say, I quit, I'm leaving that, I'm not being trapped anymore. I am a conspiracy theorist, I am not a supermarket manager. It took a while to accept that and to take that leap of faith to go out and make it on my own. And thank God it worked out the way it has done. And I'm here now trying to do the best I can to help others as much as I can, who are also waking up to the truth or living the life of a truther, to help deal with it in a healthier, better way that doesn't end up with us being isolated or accused of being crazy or alone. I hope this helps. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.